to worship Him this morning and to come before Him with thanksgiving. Thank you for those beautiful songs, if you will. At the close of the service, we'll have an invitation. Say, there's not many people here for the invitation, yes, but out there listening, watching, are many people, and always a time to pray, to reflect, and just to draw nigh to God. So if you'll have a song ready at the conclusion of the program, we appreciate this. We have never been through a time like this. We realize that in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, unusual things were happening because He was that light that was sent into the world. He was the true light, Christ Jesus. He came to the womb of Mary, and He was born in Bethlehem, house of bread. And because He died and arose from the dead, we're here this morning giving Him thanks, praise, and honor. So I've been thinking the Lord has put on my heart a song, and the title of that song, In Times Like These. I want to read the words of those songs. It was written in about 1943, back when there was not a time like that either. During the war, and there was a precious lady in Pennsylvania, Ruth Jones, that was listening to the radio. She was in Pennsylvania. She was a mother of five and a pastor's wife. She was listening to the radio in Pittsburgh, telling about the Allied forces that were going through Europe and trying to win the war, but it was slow. There was tragedy. There was hurt. And if she was reading the verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1, this is what that Scripture said. This know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come. And the Lord seemingly directed her to start writing a song. It's been listened to by hundreds and perhaps thousands of people over the years. And I'll read that song to you, because there's never been a time just like that. And the Lord had said, in the last days, perilous times will come. And so she wrote this wonderful song, In Times Like These. The songwriter said, in times like these, you need a Savior. Times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips solid rock. And then the chorus again. Last verse. In times like these, I need a Savior. In times like these, I need an anchor. I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then the chorus again, that great song. She had never been through times like this. You and I have never been times like these. And the Lord put on my heart the title of the message this morning, In Times Like These. In times like these, we definitely need an anchor. So we'll look at four different thoughts and aspects. The first thought I want to look at this morning is we look at the time of the passion of Christ. The word passion is a word that means, it's in Latin, it means to suffer, to bear, to endure. So the passion of Christ refers to that short period of time of all the suffering He did, all the rejection He had. And yes, it also has to do with the cross and with the resurrection, ascension, and all the things that were happening. So let's look at that first thought, the time of the passion of Christ. We'll read the Scripture in Mark 15:33. This is part of that passion of Christ, because He was going to the cross. The Scripture says in Mark 15:33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The Lord at midday in their time zone and all across the world, whatever time zone it was, complete darkness, because He was letting the world know that you have rejected Christ. He came, He was alive in the world, but men love darkness. Jesus said these words, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So during that noon experience for the next 3 hours, God told the sun, "Thou shalt not shine," the S-U-N, because the Lord Jesus Christ is paying the debt that you and I could not pay. And then he continues in the 34th verse, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Of course, he spoke it, and it was interpreted to our language, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Surely it seemed a time of darkness, but the third day was going to come. And the veil of the temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom. When the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he cried out, he gave up the ghost. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Even the centurion, one that had not known the things of God, but being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing the Spirit of God and going through the darkness, not knowing all that was transpired, but he realized this was truly the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered to him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Oh, the passion of Christ. Not only was it a time of the death of Jesus Christ that he endured the suffering, the pain, and he endured the cross, and he endured the shame, all those things, but there were other people suffering too. Can you imagine the women, the mother, and those other women that came all the way from Galilee, and there they were, far from home, not knowing the future. Today, you and I go through a pandemic. We don't know the future. But the time like this has never been before. We'll look at that later. But the time of the Passion of Christ was in those days. But then he also tells us about it in verse 42. "And now when the eve was come," because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Verse 45. "And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body of Joseph." Pilate now is not willing to give the body of Jesus until he knows he's dead, because Christ Jesus has given up the ghost. He said, "Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And verse 45 says, "And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid." Then in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, turn your Bibles there if you're reading. We'll see what happened also. According to the book of Matthew, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did shake, and the rocks rent." A little father description of all that happened, the passion of Christ. Because God the Father is going to have to turn his back on his own dear son. Why would God do that? Well, he said it pleased the Father to bruise the son. Why would he do that? Because he loved you and he loved me. And the only way you and I would be here this morning to believe on Jesus Christ and have the hope of heaven and know that our name is written there and our redemption draweth nigh is because of that death. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that he would die on the cruel Roman cross. And then in verse 52, talking about what's happening, "And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." See, because Jesus arose, many others. Also, he let the example be known that many graves, when Jesus arose, many graves were open. We don't hear much about that, but Matthew 27, verse 52 tells us that. "And came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many." So, Lord, let people know, and you and I know as we read the Word of God, that because Jesus arose, we too, though our parents, our loved ones, our children, and sometimes grandchildren are buried, and they go into that cold, dark grave. Then, because Jesus arose, when he comes back to get those of us that are still alive, right before he gets us, if we're still living, and takes us home, all those graves will open also. Why? Because Jesus arose from the day of the resurrection. Verse 54 says, now when the centurion and they that watched Jesus and the earthquakes and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly was this the Son of God. Matthew also in Mark tells about the centurion that witnessed the earthquakes, the darkness, and sin, and radiating the love of God. Although Isaiah says he would not be recognized almost as a human being because of his suffering, because of the blood, because of the stripes all over him, because his blood disappeared, and the crown of thorns on his head with the blood streaming down. The centurion and many others observed. They recognized also, chapter 27, verse 55, and many women were there, beholding the far off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Those women that had suffered also. So we see the passion of Christ. But not only we see the passion of Christ in the suffering. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28 in the resurrection. Jesus did not stay dead, of course, but in the resurrection. We're talking, first of all, the time of the passion of Christ. The time he endured the suffering and was willing to go to the cross for you and I. In the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, at the end of the Sabbath, began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. Yes, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. See the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Passion of Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He endured it. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to bear your sins and my sins. He was willing to suffer, to bleed and to die. But oh, thank God for the third day when he arose from the dead. We have spent probably a little bit too much time on the passion of Christ, but I want to look at the times of the past. See, after Jesus Christ arose, ascended to the Father, and then he realized and knew that you and I would still be in this world, but he prepared. He said, when I leave, I'll send the Holy Ghost, who will lead you and teach you and draw all men to me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Not only we want to look, the songwriter said, in times like these. These are not the only times. It's the time you and I are living, but there's been other times. We'll talk about that in the times of the passion of Christ. But then we look at the times of the past. The past from the time of Christ up until this present day. That's a long period of time. But we see the Bible teaches some of the things that we know happened in those days. James was killed for the witness of Jesus Christ, and many others suffered also. And then he told the crowd and all his disciples, begin at Jerusalem and go to the parts of the world and preach the gospel. It's like a lot of times you know, you get in the comfort zone. And we know we're here. We know we preach to our own people, but we're supposed to tell the good news across the world. Sometimes we get in the comfort zone and, well, we're pretty content like we are. God has a way of rattling the cage, so to speak, and shaking things up. So God permitted the enemy to come in and shut down worship and try to destroy them. And the disciples themselves, right after the resurrection, they were told by the women that he is arisen. They were in fear still, the times of Passion of Christ, and they were still in fear and gathered in a room with the doors locked and the windows shut. But Christ appeared to them. He said, "Be not afraid. It is I. Peace be unto you." And then after he ascended to the Father, of course, many, many people. And through the years, God wanted his word, the word that you have and the word that I have. That 44 different authors had their books had written in three different languages. And he wanted you and I to have a copy in our language of what he said. But the enemy in those times didn't like that. So the people that were translating and starting to print it, many of them, hundreds of them, that were in that time period and times past were put to death. The devil tried to hinder. And even today, the devil tries to hinder. All this is times past. And all through the countless years, many have been sawed asunder and many have been put to death for the cause of Christ. Times past. And even churches burned and people hung and people put gasoline on them and burn them at the stake all through the years in times like these. Times of the past of Christ and times of the past. But I want to spend most of the time this morning on times of the present. We are in the present. And we don't have all the ability that we need perhaps to look back for the last 2,000 plus years at all the things that's happened since Christ arose and ascended. And all the witnesses that's been held, and all the preaching that's been done, and all the misery, and all the suffering that's been done, and all the people that's bore the expense of that. But they were faithful. Many of them died as martyrs. But you and I are in this present day, so let's look at the time of the present. Yes, we're going through hardships. Yes, we're going through religious persecution. And we realize that today Satan is taking advantage. Of course, the Lord has given us the opportunity. If this had happened, this pandemic had happened a few short years ago, then we would not have this opportunity right now. They're broadcast live from hundreds and perhaps thousands of churches to people out there, some in drive-in church and some by way of the internet by Facebook, and then some later on, and by the way of radio and television. What a wonderful opportunity in the time of the present. Then Satan doesn't like that either, and I want to look a little bit at how Satan has tried to hinder. We're talking about times of the present. Someone in their church sent me an article last night that I followed up on, and how things are not all seemingly going good, because a lot of churches just trying to have drive-in or church services with just fewer than 10 people. They're being given tickets. One church in Greenville, Mississippi, he sent me information about, where the mayor had decreed that you cannot even have a drive-in. Stay in your car, roll up the window, just stay 6 feet one from another in the car. That's fine and dandy, but not according to the mayor of Greenville. See, he and his twin brother seeming though have a political move and trying to make a statement, trying to hinder the things of God. And they were trying to do that, so the people were given tickets and warned that you cannot do this. Hopefully our Department of Justice will intercede, but that damage has been done. And then also we see that now at that same time, that's well and good. If you shut down the whole city and you can't go anywhere, we'll all stay home and we'll obey the law. But abortion clinics in that town all around were still open. And I read that all the liquor and beer joints that sold beer. And by the way, in times like these, since the pandemic has been going in America, the sale of alcohol has exceeded sometimes 50% increase over the past. People are at home. They have time and they're worried. They don't turn to God like you and I do. Although many are. I have seen pictures of bookstores throughout America where the religious section, the shelves are bare. Why? Even the people that didn't have a Bible know something's going on and they want to read and maybe catch up of what they've heard. They turn a deaf ear to it. We're talking about times of the present, where this pandemic has caused many people to turn from their wicked way and seek the Lord. But we realize when you seek the Lord, he may be found, but we have to turn from our way also. When we turn to the Lord, that means we're going a certain direction, and that direction, if we're not saved, is a wrong direction. We realize that he wants to change your path, to change your instructions, that we don't go that way anymore, and we have to repent and acknowledge we were wrong and ask forgiveness. It's one thing to read the Word of God, and that's good. It'll bring conviction. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And it will, but we have to do our part. We have to repent, acknowledge that we're sinners. Many are doing that, but many are not. And like I say, the abortions are on the rise. Abortion clinics are still open, even those places where they've been curfewed. If you treat everybody the same, that's constitutional. But when you start saying you pick on the churches and you can't park in your parking lot, but you can park in the parking lot to buy alcohol, you can park in the parking lot to have an abortion, that's not constitutional. No doubt that will stop. But then we see the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. You say, well, are you using names? Well, let me give you, for instance, why I'm doing this. Because in Luke chapter 13, verse 32, Jesus did. Jesus said, go ye and tell that fox. Let's talk about Herod. Been told Jesus that Herod is going to try to kill you. It didn't seem to bother Jesus too much because he knew the time, the place, the hour, exact moment that he would willingly lay down his life and give his life. It was a time of passion. He realized that, and he said these words, you go and tell that fox, behold, I can't cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. In other words, Satan and Herod and all the people that follow the advice of the devil, you will not hinder the things I'm going to accomplish. So he called, oh, Herod, you go tell that fox. Well, what about another one? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, how Paul the apostle handled it. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, I'm not going to get even with Alexander the coppersmith because the Lord will take care of that. And for all the God deniers and God haters, that's one thing. But when they openly oppose and try to shut down churches to keep them from broadcasting and doing the things that they let the world do, Paul says, the Lord will take care of that. The Lord reward him according to his works. Oh, but he continues in the next verse. He wants you and I to know also, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our works. It's Alexander the coppersmith did us much evil. Do me evil, or the word of God is not being broadcast, or it's being hindered by anybody, God will take care of it. He will reward them according to their works. But Paul wanted the rest of the country that read it, and you and I, to know of whom, beware of those people. They're dangerous. They could hurt. They intend to hurt. For he hath greatly withstood our words. Now let's go back to Governor of Virginia now, Ralph Northam. You realize that he signed into law Friday legislation that absolutely took away most of the hindrances. People that were supposed to get abortions, they had to go through a period of looking and asking questions. And he put all that restrictions away and said, no more restrictions. All this restrictions of abortion, it's an open field now for abortion. However, still going really hard against the things of God and against the freedom we have in America. Many aren't doing that. Let me just give you an example of all the abortion clinics that have been going. And these days, we read much about the pandemic. It's a terrible thing. We don't know if we also will contact this dreaded disease, and we also may die. It's a dread disease. But that's all, not all we need to pray about. There's a lot of other things. And see, God's looked at the whole picture. We looked at passion of Christ, the time of the passion. We looked at times of the past. But we want to talk about times of the present that you and I are going through this very day. Some things that's happening. There's not much news about it. You realize that the abortion clinics and people killing babies last year in the world exceeded 42.3 million babies murdered. Wow. We worry about this pandemic. It could easily kill 100,000, they say, in America. That's terrible. Don't make light of it. But at the same time, there's other things to pray about. The present, I'm told yesterday, that there was 107,000 deaths in the world because of this coronavirus. Terrible. No doubt that many more may die. But compare that to 42.3 million babies that have died in the world last year because of abortion. And then we realize every year, why would they want alcohol places and liquor stores to remain open, although they're trying to be disparity between that and the churches today? Oh, there was 88,000 people last year in America that died because of alcohol-related things. Whether it be drunk drivers or just died because all the reason alcohol. 88,000 a year people die in America. There's a lot to pray about, isn't there? Not only are we going through a pandemic, but then also about 77,000 people in America each year die because of drug overuse. And so far, there has been over 19,000 deaths in America due to this coronavirus. Terrible thing. No doubt it will exceed more and more every day. But compared to abortions and drug abuse, that's a terrible thing also. This is a time of the present. We're going through this today. And we pray about the coronavirus, yes. But see, look, God is looking down at the whole thing. He knows this coronavirus. And as I was studying, preparing this message last night, it was such a burden on my heart that all the things that I know God's looking at, He's not only looking at the deaths of coronavirus, He's looking at the deaths because of alcohol and because of the murder of all these babies. We ask God, Lord, remove this coronavirus if it be your will, and we should continue praying that. See, God's also seeing all those murders of all those babies. And when we pray, we must pray also for all those women, all those abortion clinics, and all those people, and all those laws that's been passed that allow free murder of babies. See, God's looking not only at the pandemic that we're going through. We see that. We're talking about times present. We've looked at times past and times of passion. There's a lot going on in this world that we need to pray for. This afternoon, Lord willing, at 3:30, while we still have an opportunity in North Carolina, we that can and want to and will gather in our parking lot behind the church out next to Fellowship Building and pray. We'll obey the law, stay 6, I even prefer 8 feet. Just leave a parking lot empty between you and the next car. That will be your 6-foot plus. Windows up, not exchange anything between cards. We are obeying the laws of land, and we have free permission to do that. Take advantage of the opportunities we have. See, if you look at times past, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, last year, we had opportunities to come to the house of God anytime the doors were open. No restrictions, no restraints. Many of us perhaps didn't take advantage of those opportunities. Now, they're vanished. They're gone. So if we have opportunity today to gather and pray, it's an important thing. Fail not to assemble yourselves together. We can't do that in church, but we can do it in parking lot. Today, the governor of North Carolina could easily say in times of future, you can't do that. And that would be okay if he sees the need to do that, provided he shuts down the abortion clinic. Provided he shuts down the places of alcohol sales. But you see, there's a disparity in the world today. I'm talking about times present that we're going through. But I have to hurry because we have to look at a couple more things before we close the message today. Not only time of the passion of Christ, time of the past, time of the present. But I want to look lastly at the time of our passing. Time that we're going to leave this world and go to a brand new country. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Time of our passing or the rapture or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, the risen Lord, the one that endured the shame, the one that suffered and bled and died, this same Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Victory has been won. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. When we read that, when we think about that, when we meditate upon the passing from this life to the next life, it's the most blessed event. Oh, it was a blessed event when Jesus arose from the dead. Resurrection Day, we celebrate and honor him this day. And for all the times past that those martyrs, you know, those people that endured the suffering and kept dying for the need of getting the word of God to you and I, for all the people that's been faithful, for your parents, my parents, our grandparents, and all those people in their life that's preached and proclaimed and kept America free, for all those soldiers that's been willing to go and fight the battlefield. Many of them did not come back. They died for the cause of freedom, so you and I could proclaim and preach and worship and adore Jesus Christ. Oh, but there's going to be another time, the time of the passing from this life to the next life. Then we realize that while we're in heaven, marriage, supper of the Lamb, 7 glorious years with the Lord, there's going to be a time of temptation, a time of tribulation down on this earth. For all those that would not heed, would not come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, for those that scoff, for those that maybe wanted to have salvation an easy way, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not willing to die to myself, to repent of my sin, to acknowledge him and worship him. Yes, Lord, when I die, I know there's a heaven, I know there's a hell, and I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. But they're not willing to bow their knees and confess, say, Lord, forgive me, I want to live for you. Those people that have not acknowledged, not professed Jesus Christ in this life, they'll go through that great tribulation. We don't have much time to talk about that. While we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But let me talk finally about another time. A time of the period of Jesus Christ's return. Remember after the marriage supper of the Lamb? All those people during the tribulation, countless thousands of them dying, trying to die because they want their rocks and the cliffs to fall on them because of all the plagues. We think this is a bad plague. I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm not trying to make light of it. It is a terrible plague in times like these, present time. But compared to what they'll go through in the tribulation, this is nothing. Even the people that are dying, and you might die and I might die during this plague. But what they will have to endure during the tribulation will exceed all that we're going through now on a scale, no doubt, of many, many times. But then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven, the time of the period of Christ's return to earth. Revelation teaches about that. Many places the Word of God teaches about that final period when he comes back and we rule and reign with Christ Jesus upon this earth. What a blessed time that is. I'll read a couple of verses concerning that. Christ Jesus, of course, is on the throne. He knows you and I. He sees everything about us. He knows your heartaches. He knows our suffering. He knows the things that we go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, let me talk briefly about this period that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we're going to come with him. For he must reign, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, for he must reign till he hath put down all enemies under his feet. 2 Timothy 2, 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Revelation 5, 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're coming back with him. He will defeat the enemy at the Battle of Armageddon, and he will reign, and we will reign with him for these 1,000 years upon earth. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Oh, the period of the passion we're talking about in times like these. Yes, the present time, but there's been the time of the passion of Christ. There's been the time of the past, hundreds of years, 2,000 years, where people were suffering too. And many came to knowledge of Christ. And then there's going to be that period of the passing. Thank God there's going to be a period, time of the reign of Christ upon this earth. If you'll get ready, please come sing that final song. Revelation 22, 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of a sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. We've seen the passion of Christ, the passion of the time of the past, the time of the present, the time of the passion, and the time of the reign. But we're here today in the present. If the Lord were to come, and he could, we could be ready to go. Have you acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior? Have you bowed your knees and confessed? You're watching, you're listening, you're not able to be here in the church. All on the pews this morning, someone kindly has put out signs. Amen, 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 amen. That represents you. You're not here to say amen. You're not here to hear the word of God. God has fixed it in this present time that you can hear and acknowledge wherever you are. Bow your knees, you bow your head, you confess. You've never done it before. Lord, in times like these, I need a Savior. In times like these, I need an anchor. In times like these, you're the only hope. Then the songwriter concluded, I am sure, I am very sure, my anchor holds and grips solid rock. You and I have never been in a time like these. Many others and many different times in the world have never been through times like they went through. But think about the hope of going to heaven, the passing of all the tribulations, and reigning Christ forever and ever. You can do it. If you'll confess and acknowledge that you're a sinner and he died for sinners and shed his blood. His blood shed at Calvary was sufficient to save the entire world. If they would only acknowledge, and you this morning can acknowledge and confess that you're a sinner and ask him to save you. Would you do that now as we listen to this beautiful